It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Stu Does America.
Tis the season to give me money for gifts. Yes, it's true. StuDoesMerch.com. All the best conservative gifts for all the conservatives you love on your Christmas list and some of the liberals you hate. Go to StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU10. If you're watching on YouTube, just subscribe to the channel. We've got some great stuff coming up here as we get into election season that you're not going to want to miss out on. I would recommend like this video, of course, but also hit the bell for notifications because we're going to be going live. We're going to have new stuff on the channel, so you don't want to miss that. Jeffy Fisher is going to be here with a major Christmas announcement. You do not want to miss the major Christmas announcement coming in just minutes on this program. Mark Cuban is up to something. I don't know exactly what it is, but I will be happy to speculate. But we start by doing FU money. Yes, Elon's FU money. He's got it in spades, as we all know. One of the richest people. In fact, I don't know, is he the richest? He's always bouncing around between one, two, or three on that list. And he made some news yesterday, you may have seen. I want to go through what he said, at least part of it, and go through what it all means here in a second. But just to rewind and kind of bring us up to speed, we know he took over Twitter. Renamed it X, of course, and with the goal of basically making it more of a free speech. He wanted to make it a town square, and he wanted to make it a free speech zone for everybody to not feel like they're getting censored all the time. That's what he seemingly has cared a lot about. Now, he got in a little bit of trouble with advertisers here and there, and they've kind of gone and come back. He hired a new CEO to bring them back, very advertising-friendly CEO to bring them back, and that has gone on for a while now. And then sort of got derailed a couple of weeks ago when he agreed to a tweet that came off as anti-Semitic. I think the tweet itself kind of was anti-Semitic. He clarified what he meant by agreeing to this, basically saying, like, you know, I'm not saying all Jews are doing this. He was talking about specific organizations like the ADL. And, you know, he's been defended by people like Ben Shapiro, who is, whatever you think about Ben Shapiro, I like Ben, but if you don't like him or if you like him, you probably don't think of him as all that anti-Semitic. So he even defended Elon Musk on this. But it has caused a bunch of advertisers to run for the hills. No one wants to be associated with that. Or at least you don't want to be associated with right-wing anti-Semitism. Of course, it's totally fine to be associated with left-wing anti-Semitism, as almost every Democratic representative seems to be these days. Now, after all of this happened, people were like, well, he's going to have to get these advertisers back to the platform. And he went and he visited Israel. He saw some of the terrible footage from October 7th. And people were kind of painting this as an apology tour. Musk says Israel visit was not an apology tour, but expresses regret for anti-Semitic tweet. He went on to say, that was the dumbest tweet in the world. That's not what I meant. I've clarified what I meant a million times. And he went into all of that. It's not all that surprising. But he was kind of pushed on this, the idea that there was an apology tour going on. And he wants to make sure that you are very clear that he's not on an apology tour. This is probably the least consistent statement with an apology tour that you're ever going to see. Watch.
Apology tour, if you will. That this had been said online. There was all of the criticism. There was advertisers leaving. We talked to Bob Iger
today. I hope
today.
They stop.
You hope?
Don't advertise.
You don't want them to advertise?
No.
What do you mean?
If somebody's going to try to blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go yourself.
But
go yourself. Is that clear? I hope it is. Hey, Bob, if you're in the audience.
Well, let me ask you then.
That's how I feel. Don't advertise.
Wow. It's like a different universe, right? Business people don't act this way. Kind of reminded me of the Howard Hughes thing from The Aviator, where he's in front of Congress and just like, yeah, screw you guys. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I've been helping the country, not hurting it. You're wrong. Like, there's that sort of FU mentality. And you got to get to a point where you have Elon Musk money to truly have the Elon Musk FU money, because the FU money, let you kind of do whatever you want. This is why Democrats hate billionaires. People are always like, well, they don't like Democrats. They don't like billionaires because they're rich. They don't like Democrats or billionaires because they are all the income inequality. It's got nothing to do with that. They don't like billionaires because billionaires have FU money. They can't be pressured by their stupid systems and their stupid pressures and their annoying asks of everybody. Now, of course, they love their own billionaires that donate money to them. Those billionaires are okay. But as far as billionaires on the right, or even in Elon Musk's case, I guess, in the middle, they don't like that because they can't pressure them into doing the things they want. The whole ESG system, to give it a, you know, kind of generalize it in that way, and this goes back to before ESG was really even a thing, you know, with the Media Matters of the world and all these other things. They're supposed to take these companies, pressure the advertisers, so they pull out, and then the person who's hosting the show or the CEO has to change their speech. They have to change their approach. They have to lie about what they actually believe. They have to hide what they believe. That's the whole plan. And that plan gets disrupted when you have a person like Elon Musk who does not care. Quite clearly, as you may have seen, he says, go F yourself. Now, he hired Linda Yaccarino to come in as the CEO of Twitter / X. And the reason for that was to get advertisers back, largely. That's what she was known for. Linda Yaccarino addresses Musk's go F yourself comment to advertisers. Her take was a tad different than go F yourself. She says, today, Elon Musk gave a wide-ranging and candid interview at DealBook 2023. He also offered an apology, an explanation, and an explicit point of view about our position. Yeah, that's one way of describing it. X is enabling an information independence that's uncomfortable for some people. We're a platform that allows people to make up their own decisions. And here's my perspective when it comes to advertising. X is standing at a unique and amazing intersection of free speech and Main Street. And the X community is powerful and is here to welcome you to our partners who believe in meaningful work. Thank you. That's not the exact tone of Elon Musk. In fact, I think that's, as she said, and my perspective on this is, and here's a totally different statement that does not align at all with what Elon Musk said. And of course, that's her job, right? Like, she knows she kind of sounds silly. She knows she's basically, you know, begging at the feet of these advertisers to come back in. And she also realizes that she gets paid mightily for that particular bit of humiliation. That is how so much happens. When you're an executive in the corporate world, a lot of times that's what your gig is. Like, gosh, I feel so stupid saying this. Yeah, but look at that check. See that check right there? You know how you're going to say this dumb thing that you know you don't believe and you know sounds really stupid and everyone's going to make fun of you and retweet it and mock you? They have $8,000 in their account. Do you? Do you have less or more than that? Because if it's more, then just go out there and say the thing you need to say. That is so much of the executives' lives in a lot of these companies. Let me give you a couple more from Elon. This is him talking about his own personal environmental impact.
Tesla has done more to help the environment than all other companies combined. It would be fair to say that, therefore, as a leader of the company, I've done more for the environment than everyone else, any single human on Earth.
How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about that?
Yeah, no, I'm asking you personally how you feel about that, because this goes, we're talking about power and influence and...
I'm saying what I care about is the reality of goodness, not the perception of it. And what I see all over the place is people who care about looking good while doing evil. F*** them.
Look, there are a lot of people who are interested in doing good, but in looking good, but doing evil. That is certainly a comment. Now, look, you know, my view on Elon's environmental views is not, I'm not aligned with his views. If you know what he believes, I mean, of course, obviously Tesla, the giant electric car company, but SpaceX, one of the main reasons SpaceX exists is to escape potential catastrophic global warming. That's, you know, is central to who Elon Musk is and what he believes. He's as bad as any leftist you know when it comes to global warming. Now, he has a much more market-based approach. He's doing it the right way. And look, he wants to do that. He should be able to do it. It's important to him, right? Like, that's just how America is supposed to work. That doesn't mean I have to agree with his environmental stances. But it is funny because when you think about this, the left loves the environment so much. They're constantly talking about how important it is. Everyone needs to do their part. And then they find a person who actually not only does his part, but the parts of millions of other people, has advanced the left-wing electric car movement more than anyone in history. If you actually took the statements from the past decade of left-wing politicians and activists and try to analyze who has been the most important person when it comes to the environment in the world, you would say Elon Musk. Yet none of them will actually give him that recognition now because why? I don't know. He allows free speech and opened up his factory too early from COVID. Like what? It's just bizarre. Now, there's a lot of things I like about Musk. That's not, you know, his environmental stuff isn't exactly one of them. But the fact that he's being treated so unfairly by the government and the Biden administration is something he also kind of commented on. Here he is talking about his frustration with the Biden administration.
Been very frustrated with the Biden administration over, I think, unions and feeling like they did not respect what you've created.
Without any, doing nothing to provoke the Biden administration, they held an electric vehicle summit at the White House and specifically refused to let Tesla attend. This was in the first 6 months of the administration. And we inquired, we're like, we literally make more electric cars than everyone else combined. Why are we not allowed? Why are you only letting Ford, GM, Chrysler, and UAW, and you're specifically disallowing us from the EV summit at the White House? We'd done nothing to provoke them. Then Biden went on to add insult to injury and publicly said that GM was leading the electric car revolution. This was in the same quarter that Tesla made 300,000 electric cars and GM made 26. Does that seem fair to you?
No, it does not. And of course, it shows the reality of the situation that the Biden administration cares a hell of a lot more about their union supporters than they ever did about the environment. It was never real from anyone on the left. I mean, you probably know that, but I'm breaking news, I suppose, to some. One of the things that's fascinating about all this that just happens, at the same time all this is happening, I've been reading the book Elon Musk by Walter Isaacson. It's out now. If you have a Spotify account and you have the Spotify Plus or whatever, it has the free audiobooks. This is one of the audiobooks that's for free. You can check it out. It's an interesting picture of looking at Elon Musk's life. And I will say this, I won't spoil the whole book, but his comments yesterday are entirely consistent with the person who is painted in this particular book. Now, I don't know how, I mean, it seems like Elon Musk participated. A lot of his family members participated in this book. Walter Isaacson, well-known biographer, has done a lot of big books over the years. So it seems reliable. But, you know, talking about how one of the things they talk about often is his dad and how his dad was very, in Elon and everyone else in the family's words, basically abusive to them. Now, the dad denies this, but Elon basically said at times he would come home and just be berated by his dad for hours and hours on end, told he was worthless, that he couldn't do anything. He was never going to amount to anything. He was stupid. All of these terrible things for a father to do to a son. But it kind of paints a picture. Oh, and he was not allowed to leave. So he had to stay there and just stand in front of his dad and take this for hours at a time. But that shows a picture of somebody who's not going to be intimidated by the mainstream media. If you've gone through that in your life, which has to be the most traumatic thing almost anyone could go through, you're really going to be, oh, wow, Media Matters is saying something bad about me. Who cares? What advertisers are pulling money away? Well, I've got $100 billion. Who cares what they say? Go F yourself. This go F yourself mentality is not something that just popped up because of this incident. It's something that has been in his life, his entire life. I mean, things like building electric cars when you're losing money and for years after year after year, and you're making all these decisions that everyone's saying are the dumbest business decisions in the world, and you power through it. Why? Well, go F yourself. That's his answer to tons and tons and tons of things. And he's just applying the same logic that got him to the place that he is now to this particular interview. He's going to be very difficult to intimidate into getting in line. And that's what makes him so incredibly dangerous to the left. And that's why he will continue to be targeted until they can figure a way to take him out. You're not going to do it financially like you can with everybody else. But eventually, I will not be surprised at all if they come after him legally, they come after his company, they try to take away his livelihood and his life of freedom. Because that's what the left does. They don't just give up when someone does not respond to their pressure. They keep going and they keep going. And eventually, go F yourself no longer works. We'll see how far they go. Jeff Fisher going to join us next with a special Christmas announcement. Tis the season for holiday fun, time for gift giving, time for parties with friends and family, and of course, getting compliments everywhere you go because you look so much younger thanks to Genucel. And from now until Christmas, Genucel's most popular package is better than 70% off at Genucel.com. You can treat yourself and a loved one to the absolute best in skincare with Genucel. See the troubling forehead wrinkles, the fine lines, the skin redness, the pesky bags and puffiness, and yes, even a sagging jawline disappear right before your eyes with Genucel's most popular collection. With its immediate effects, you'll see results in less than 12 hours guaranteed or your money back. Plus, included in every most popular package is your free hyaluronic acid serum for skin hydration that will restore your youthful appearance. This is all guaranteed, so you're not risking anything. Give it a shot. Genucel.com/Stu. Genucel.com/Stu. Enter the promo code Stu. You'll get an additional 10% off your entire order. Great for you. Great for a gift. Every order today is instantly upgraded to free express shipping. Genucel.com/Stu. It's Genucel.com/Stu.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
I'm joined now by Jeff Fisher, host of Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher, right here on Blaze TV. And of course, get the podcast. Make sure you check it out. And Jeffy, we've been teasing a big announcement. And you're involved in this announcement.
I'm excited.
This is a pretty exciting
I am excited.
One. It has to do with your holiday season and how wonderful your holiday season is going to be. And it brings us back to a little film that Jeffy and I and many others around here made just a few years ago. Watch.
Hey-o! I hear you got a crapper to be plunged.
Yes, I stopped up the crapper. I've just been so stressed with my store closing that last night I binged on fig pudding.
Ooh, that'll stop up a crapper,
I know,
all right.
I know.
I love fig pudding. And the crapper.
Really?
We have so much in common. I love fig pudding, and I clogged up my crapper last night, too.
I got to tell you, I'm still hurt. There's no Emmy, there's no Oscar, there's no Tony.
I thought they mailed it to you.
None of it. It's,
did you get an EGOT?
I should have.
You should have.
I mean,
for your role in A Christmas
Thank
Twist,
you.
A movie we made here for Blaze TV, and it's become a Christmas classic. And Jeffy, of course, a very important role. That was Jeffy and my wife, Lisa Page, and just the burgeoning moments of their relationship. One of the most disturbing relationships in television history or movie history, in my particular opinion. It's one I have nightmares about, I will say.
Really?
However, you love this movie. I would guess. I mean, it's every year. It's one of the most requested things that we do. I mean, it was basically a little like takeoff on Hallmark movies.
And they copied it.
Then
we
that's true.
Copies.
This is actually, I think, legitimately true. After we made this movie, which was a loose sort of stylistic parody of a Hallmark movies called A Christmas Twist, about a woman who has a cookie store, a Christmas cookie store.
Right.
Hallmark, in reality,
made a movie that almost is identical Absolutely. To the plot line of A Christmas Twist. Yes. I swear they saw this and then tried to turn it from a parody into a regular movie.
No, I mean, they did. It's in rotation.
It is.
I mean, the lady owns a cookie factory or whatever. It's in rotation. That's the deal.
The plot is almost identical. Yeah. It's hilarious. And if they did that, I'm not suing you. I love you for it. It's hilarious.
I'm not going out on that limb. I'll tell you that.
But this is our big announcement today is on Christmas Day, 24 hours of A Christmas Twist coming to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Yes, you'll get the same movie replayed for 24 consecutive hours
on YouTube. How sweet is that?
It's the best way to spend
it. That is awesome.
Screw your family. Screw, getting together.
Family should all be viewing it.
Should just be on your TV all day. Yes, I know there's 24 hours of A Christmas Story. You've seen it already. You've probably seen it a bunch of times. How many times? I mean, this is not nearly as long as A Christmas Story. You're going to be able to watch this movie like hundreds of times.
Have we figured out how long that
movie? I think it's, 15, 20 minutes maybe?
I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to go three or four times an hour. Like, I guess it's not going to be hundreds, but it's going to be maybe close to 100 times in one day, and that's for you.
You're welcome,
now,
by the way.
If you go to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, I don't know if it's up yet. It's going to be up. Basically, there's going to be a place, we'll tweet it out on social media and everything as well, where you can go there and you can get in the waiting room for this movie already, and it'll give you a nice big countdown to the moment where it begins.
That is fantastic. I mean, that's awesome.
It is.
We're celebrating A Christmas Twist. Now, since we're celebrating, I wanted to bring something that I don't know if we can give it to a winner that's the best viewer of The Christmas Twist.
Okay.
Maybe we give it to Mercury One, or sell it to Mercury One. Mm-hmm. Let's give it to Mercury One. Sell it to Mercury One. But I wanted to bring, I brought an authentic replica. It's an authentic replica of the plunger that I used in A Christmas Twist.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, hey,
Wow. I'm brought back into that scene.
I know. So I just thought maybe, I'd sign it. You know, you were in the movie. You could sign it too, I guess.
Oh, wow, thank you. I was. I had a brief
appearance
in the movie.
Yeah, it's your deal.
And so it's not the actual plunger, which I believe was a used plunger at the time we used it.
That's correct.
It was not off the shelf, I'll tell you that.
No, it was not.
But this is a clean one.
This is a certified authentic replica.
Certified?
I'm certifying
authentic
it. I'm certifying
replica
it. So certified
of a plunger of a movie that is going to be on YouTube on Christmas.
That's correct. That's 24 hours, the entire day of Christmas.
Will you certify to the audience that you will not use it in the interim before we send it to them?
Yes, I'll certify that I won't use this authentic certified replica plunger. Yes, I promise.
Okay, there you go. So this will
this is collectors.
It will not be dipped in the toilet in any way?
No, okay, fine.
That's good. By the way, we find out, we're getting word from the control room, it will play 102 times
nice.
On Christmas Day, which really, for some people, will ruin the holiday. But for you, you will very much appreciate
that hurts.
It.
No, some people can't ruin the holiday. There's no way.
And seriously, you don't have to watch it 102 times. I mean, 40 is probably enough. Maybe 50. I wouldn't, if you want to do it 102, that's fine.
You know how on Thanksgiving when you get up and you put the Macy's Day Parade on and then you watch the dog show and it's just on?
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yes.
That's what America does.
Mm-hmm.
You get up on Christmas morning, the little Rugrats open their presents, Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. Christmas Twist on TV.
There you go.
You just put it on.
I know. It's part of the holidays. Like on Thanksgiving, you're watching NFL football.
Well, after the dog show.
After the dog show. On Christmas, you're watching A Christmas Twist. And New Year's, of course, is college football.
I know.
I mean, we are getting to that season where it's going to be wall-to-wall college football bowl games.
It's been wall-to-wall college football. I mean, last weekend was tremendous. I'm willing to talk college football. You want to talk college football.
I 100%
agree
with that.
Look, you're welcome, by the way, if we have some way, find a way to...
You're going to sign it? Do we have a Sharpie?
Yeah, I do, actually.
All right. We'll sign this as we talk college football.
Okay. I'm willing to talk college football, man. I mean, last weekend was awesome, and this weekend coming up is championship weekend. And depending on what happens, I mean, the playoffs rankings could be thrown into chaos, which would be fun. A lot of people want teams to lose, so they get thrown in, so the whole thing gets thrown into chaos.
Yes, everyone wants the chaos. I don't know why.
Just because it sounds fun,
yeah.
But nobody will be happy. Well, nobody will be happy.
Nobody will be happy. First of all, four teams is not enough for this. You got to go to eight. A lot of people want 16. I'm fine with 16, but eight would be enough that you definitely would have the best team in America in the tournament, right? Like,
yes.
The problem with four is, like, you could have the fifth best. Like, I would say right now you could argue Oregon is the best team in the nation, and they wouldn't be in it right now.
Well.
You could argue it. They only have one
playing,
loss.
They're playing great football. Mm-hmm. And so what happens if we have chaos, right? Okay, so Alabama beats Georgia. They both have one loss. And Alabama will be the SEC champion. Are you going to keep Georgia, the back-to-back national champions, out of the playoffs? You have, could Iowa beat Michigan? I would argue, well, I mean, really, I don't think Michigan has a problem with Iowa. But if you're going to beat Michigan, now's the weekend to do it. They got Harbaugh coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking a breath. They're away from us against the world. They've beaten Ohio State. They've got the big games. Iowa's got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. But I don't think they have the horses to beat Michigan. They may hang around for 10 minutes.
Yeah, right.
12 minutes and it'll be over. Yeah.
But Iowa's, there's some solid
Florida,
teams.
You just have to win, right? So you have Oregon and Washington play. Mm-hmm. Washington beat them earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. Oregon beats them now.
Who are you putting in?
I mean, they're the Pac-12 champions then.
This is why you need more
I know.
Teams, right? Like, there's no both of those teams should be in a tournament to figure out
absolutely
who the champion.
And then you have Florida State, who they, you know, everyone, they're undefeated, but have they played anybody? Right. They just lost their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Georgia, of course, is still.
They're undefeated.
Number one.
Yeah, Georgia's number one. They're undefeated. Right.
Pretty much. I mean, it would be very surprising to see them not be in the Final Four.
If they, but if Alabama beats them,
yeah, then what?
Who do you, Alabama will be the SEC champions.
See,
not Georgia.
To me, if you don't win your conference tournament, if you don't win, you don't get in. Like, if you're gonna have, I don't care. You have to. This is how playoffs work, right?
I know.
You had to win your conference to get to the Super Bowl, right?
I'm with you. Yes.
You can't win your conference and then not get. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And
they do this all the time. They're like, well, actually, I think this happened with Alabama one year, and they didn't even play in the conference championship, and they put them in the Final Four. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand why they do it this way. Add one more week. People like the sport.
Well, next,
let them watch the sport.
Next year we go to 12 teams, right?
Is it 12?
So, yeah.
I mean, eight would do it. 12 is weird. I don't know why they do that with buys and stuff. Just make it eight. Everyone plays.
You want to talk about college football, plus with what's happening. I mean, the Pac-12 is no more. All those teams going into the Big 10, the Big 12, and Big 12 teams coming to the SEC. I mean, that throws everything into a turmoil. And so it's going to be very, very strange. I'm happy that my college team, the Missouri Tigers, are 10-2, and
yeah,
they're going to be playing in a J6 bowl. I'm good to go.
Yeah,
I don't call it a January 1st bowl anymore. It's January. It's a January 6th bowl. It's a holiday.
Speaking of the January 6th ties, I think Donald Trump should only campaign at college football stadiums because he. It's incredible.
Every time he shows up,
he's the most popular guy in the world at college football stadiums.
Every time he shows up, you're gonna hear the crowds cheer, and then you're gonna get the stories that say how much they booed him.
Yeah,
it's great. It's really fascinating to me.
Because I watched the clip, I heard the crowd. Yeah. How did I see headlines about him being booed?
You find one guy, or a family in section 124 that's booing him. Yep, look at that. He was booed. Because, you have another 80,000 cheering for him. That'd be a great case. Just show up to the college games.
There you go.
Just show up.
You don't have to pay for any of the crowd stuff. You don't have to, come up with the insurance for the event. Just show up at college football stadiums.
How you doing?
You might say something stupid. You don't have to say anything stupid. Just wave.
They all cheer for you. Go out on the field. Wave. Talk them into letting you flip the coin if you want to.
Yeah.
How you doing? How you guys doing?
Cheapest campaign ever. And you get to watch a free game. It's amazing.
Well, no, he's not sticking around.
No, he probably doesn't. Last one here on the sports situation. There was this kid earlier this week who had talked about having
Kansas
blackface
City.
And the native headdress. They Deadspin came out, targeted the kid, basically made him look like a racist. They didn't show the other side of his face, which was
red. Of course.
He was in Kansas City Chiefs garb. That's all it was. you know, everyone's saying, oh, well, they need, he needs to sue Deadspin and own Deadspin, a five-year-old owner of Deadspin, which I love that narrative. It's hilarious. But now, at least, and I, you know, we don't know for sure, but it seems like in his family was Native American heritage. Like, he wasn't even just throwing on a Chiefs hat. He actually has a Native American heritage throughout
so
his family.
So now what?
Now what?
Now what?
I mean, I honestly, if this kid does not own Deadspin, which I don't know, it's probably loaded with so much debt you might not want to own it, but if he should be owning it by the end of the week.
I mean, there should be at least some money involved mm-hmm. to this kid and this family. I mean, it's ridiculous. The other thing is,
a child like that.
The other sad thing is, and I'm with you on that 100%, it's ridiculous. The kid is a fan of football. He dresses up like his favorite team in the Kansas City Chiefs, and he puts on the face paint like, I don't know, 90% of the players on the field, and goes to the game to celebrate the game, and he gets called out wrongly. For being, you know, blackface mm-hmm. wrongly. It's just how we edit things and crop things now is just incredible. And so then the question is, you know, the original question, which scares me with the NFL getting called out, what will they do? Because the NFL, Roger Goodell's pretty woke on that stuff.
Mm.
He's pretty woke on, hey, you guys, you know, maybe we need to stop that kind of thing. I don't know if you can.
He knows his audience, though. I mean, like, you know, the Colin Kaepernick thing was never embraced by the NFL. Like, it would have been in basketball. They tolerated it. You know, they stood there with their hands together for 1 week. And then, you know, they put end racism in the end zone, and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
I do think that they
put it on the back
more...
of your helmet, too, if you want. Go ahead. No problem.
I don't know. At least they kind of know their audience. Look, everyone wants to end racism. No one wants racism. But a kid painting their face in Kansas City Chiefs colors is not racism.
And then we have the, you know, you talk about the Redskins and the Chiefs and the Redskins. I mean, when you look at the Washington Commanders football team stands, I see a lot of Redskin stuff.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of Commanders stuff.
No one cares about the Commanders. Certainly no one cares about the football team. What they care about are the Redskins, right? That's the that's the real team. That's who they are.
And so
I refuse to call them the Commanders. I just keep saying the Redskins. I don't care. Correct me every time. I'm just going to keep saying it. I don't care. They take this stuff away for no reason. I'm not going to call them the Guardians either.
I know.
It's stupid. It's stupid. We all know it's stupid, and we have to sit here and pretend like it's rational or like we're doing the right thing or we're all coming together. It's not. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
It's acting like people are not adults. We all, even if the names were really bad, which in Redskins' case, they were not. The people who are Native Americans, 90% of them supported
it. Their tribes are trying to fight to get it back.
Yeah, they're trying to get it back. But, like, even if it was a name that was a little distasteful, like, it's a reminder of our history. You know what I mean? Like, and we
We can't have that. We've got to rewrite our history.
Yeah, I know. We have to. It's really amazing. All right, Jeff Fisher, of course, you're talking about this so much more on Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. Wherever you get your podcasts, make sure to check that out. I don't know what we're going to do with this yet. We'll figure out a way. We'll get it out. Maybe we should have the whole cast sign it. Glenn and Lisa and Pat. There's plenty of room.
Maybe set it on a golden throne?
Yes. And then maybe Mercury One can get like $8 or something. We can't save someone from Afghanistan, but we can save their luggage.
I'm all for that.
There you go. Jeffy, thanks so much for coming on the program. Make sure to check out Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher wherever you get your podcast. Jeffy, thanks. Very strange happenings here in Dallas, actually, around Mark Cuban. And it's a bizarre story that seems to point to something else right around the corner. Let me just bring you back here. First of all, Mark Cuban goes on a podcast and says he's going to be leaving Shark Tank. Now, he's been on Shark Tank for a zillion years. I think 16 years he's been on Shark Tank. You know, you can say, okay, he's got a lot of money. He's invested a lot, millions of dollars through Shark Tank at these various companies. But, like, you can see, okay, I'm kind of sick of doing this reality show. Man, you walk away, not that big of a story after 16 years. Now, the next step in the story is the Las Vegas Sands company. And they sell $2 billion of shares in their company. And they say it's for they're getting the $2 billion because they want to purchase a share in an NBA team. Or they say a sports franchise, I think. Well, we find out later that it is the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, that's Mark Cuban's team. So Mark Cuban is selling a majority of the Mavs to the owner of the Sands Corporation, of course, Sheldon Adelson, and his who has passed away a couple years ago, and his wife, now former wife, Miriam. So she's buying the majority of the Mavs, but Cuban is going to stay on and still control the team, which is a pretty good gig if you can get it. Because, I mean, look, owning the team is fine, but like what you want to do if you're an owner of a team is, of course, you want to be the fantasy team owner, right? Like you want to be the guy who's making the trades and signing the free agents and all the fun stuff, right? Owning the team is, I mean, what do you get out of that? I mean, it's, you can make a lot of money, but the fun of it is, of course, running the basketball operations. He's going to maintain running basketball operations, it seems, at least for the time being, but lose control of the actual franchise itself. And bizarrely, he's also talking about potentially moving from the arena they're currently in, which is in downtown Dallas, American Airlines Center, to a new arena, which, shockingly enough, conveniently enough, as this announcement comes out, is going to potentially exist in a casino resort. Now, there's one little thing about the Dallas Mavericks that has a little problem, a little fly in that ointment, is that none of that stuff's legal in Texas. Like, you can't really do much of anything in Texas when it comes to gambling, outside of, like, the lottery, I think. So you really can't do much. You have to go to Oklahoma for all that if you want to go to a casino. So all sorts of crazy speculation going on now. Some people are even speculating that he wants to move the Mavs out of Dallas. I think that would be very, very shocking. But to a place that, I don't know, maybe has gambling, like, I don't know, Las Vegas. Is that real? Probably not. Secondarily, there's the idea that he maybe knows that we are around the corner of gambling becoming legal in Texas, which would be a massive story. I mean, like, it was a huge, huge development in that industry because Texas has a lot of people that have cash they want to throw around. A lot of people take that money out of state for various different places. If the Las Vegas Sands could build a casino resort in Texas and it becomes legal, you put the arena down there, this all fits together very, very nicely. Could it be that? The other piece of speculation is that maybe Mark Cuban is cleaning up his business side of things because he wants to run for president. Now, he is saying no, that is not it. Mark Cuban is saying he has no plans to run for the White House in 2024. He has talked to apparently the No Labels group about potentially some stuff. He kind of flirted with a run in 2020. Maybe I'll run as an independent. I mean, I don't, you know, is that serious? It's hard to imagine it actually being successful, but it's one of those things that he's talked about and flirted with for a long time. He's saying, though, at least at this point, no plans to run. Now, that doesn't mean no, but it does at least not indicate it's going to be an announcement anytime that is imminent. The whole thing is bizarre, though. I mean, Cuban is so tied as part of his public identity to the Mavs. It's hard to imagine the team existing with him not being the owner, but that is apparently where we're going. And he's had a pretty successful run with the Mavs. I mean, they won the championship in 2011, just crushing the hopes of LeBron James that particular year, which made everything in the world worthwhile in 2011. But then since then, it's been a little bit bumpy. I mean, made the playoffs a bunch of times, but has never really been a serious championship contender other than one year where he made the conference finals a couple years ago. But not really a legit threat to take the title. So that is that's the state of affairs with Mark Cuban. All you can say by these stories is something else is coming. What is it? We don't know yet, but something else is very much around the corner. Let's say you're looking to move your sports franchise out of the state into another place where gambling exists. You may need a new home. And if you need one, you need realestateagentsitrust.com. No, I don't think that's actually going to happen. Realestateagentsitrust.com is a place to go where you can find the best agent in your town. Whether you're buying or selling a home, doesn't really matter. A lot of people only will get selling agents, and they're like, well, I'm buying. I'll just use the agent of the seller. I don't think that's a great idea. Honestly, you need someone on your side of the transaction to make sure that, you know, they're looking out for you. The other person is hired by the seller. They're looking out for the seller. Get an agent when you're a buyer, and that's my advice to you. But realestateagentsitrust.com will get you the best agent on either side of the transaction. You need the person with the best results in your area. You need the person who knows how to bring a sale down the line and finish it off all the way around the bases, bring it to home nicely in the best way possible, and make the conversation and transaction the best possible way it can go, bring it to the conclusion the best possible way it can. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Free service to you. Check it out now. realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. One of the interesting things that has happened in our society since October 7th is sort of the veil dropping away. People who normally would have these sort of couched statements about, well, look, we're not anti-Semitic, we're anti-Jew, we're not pro-Hamas, we're just basically people who think that, you know, Israel is an occupying power and the Palestinians have a right to their state. It's a two-state solution. They come up with this nice little language. And I don't know, the more you press them on it, like, it doesn't seem like they really have any place for the Jews to be in Israel at all. But rarely do they actually come out and say, yeah, we support Hamas. Hamas is actually the good guys in this debate. They won't go that far. Since October 7th, we've seen more and more of that sort of peek through. And if you are one of the people who says, come on, no one supports Hamas, it's a terrorist organization, let me present to you a couple of people, several actually, who were presenting their opinions to the Oakland City Council. This is amazing footage, and it's happening all over the country. Watch this.
There's not been beheadings of babies and rapings. Israel murdered their own people on October 7th.
Calling Hamas a terrorist organization is ridiculous, racist, and plays into genocidal propaganda that is flooding our media and that we should be doing everything possible to combat.
I support the right of Palestinians to resist occupation, including through Hamas, the armed wing of the unified Palestinian resistance.
As an Arab, asking with this context to condemn Hamas is very anti-Arab racist.
The notion that this was a massacre of Jews is a fabricated narrative. Many of those killed on October 7th,
thank you, ma'am. Your time is up.
Including children, were killed by the IDF. An amendment condemning Hamas is bald propaganda meant to...
Thank you, your time is up.
To hear them complain about Hamas violence is like listening to a wife beater complain when his wife finally stands up and fights back.
Question. Did anyone else notice that those who oppose this resolution are old white supremacists?
There's been a lot of atrocity propaganda ranging from claims of beheaded babies to mass rape.
Hamas is not a terrorist organization just because the U.S. and Israel deems it so. Hamas is a resistance organization that is fighting for the liberation of Palestinian people and their land.
And that wasn't one person. It was nine people from just one meeting. All of whom said basically in some form or the other, either the attacks were not even real and the Jews didn't die, or the IDF killed them from the Israeli side, or on the other side of that, they're just blatantly just saying Hamas actually is okay. They're a good group of people doing things that are positive. It's a crazy world we live in. I mean, I cannot believe that this stuff is being uttered. I mean, you don't see tons of examples of city council meetings where KKK members stand up and say these types of things, because that's what it should be compared to. You know, it is horrific. And the fact that it's actually happening now in our country over and over and over again should not, I guess at this point, should not be a surprise to me. But seeing these people actually put their faces next to this, with the exception of the one person still wearing the COVID mask, is really, really a fascinating thing to watch. And I got to say, I'm stunned by it. I mean, we all know that these hatreds are not new. They are old hatreds. They've been around for a very, very long time. But to see people uttering them in public so comfortably is just, it just shakes you at the core. Okay, so here's what happened. An Ohio attorney has been suspended. And I was initially going to give him a little bit of a defense here. And I'll just give you what he did. He pooped at a Pringles can. And that's not ideal, okay? He left it in a parking lot of a criminal advocacy center. Now, my defense was going to be, if you're going to poop somewhere, the second best place in the world to do it, other than a toilet, is a Pringles can. Like, it's better than doing it in the woods or just outside if you're having an emergency, because then, you know, someone could step in it. Pringles can, it's like a self-contained thing, and then you just throw it away. I think it's actually a pretty good option. I will say, after reading the story, though, it's a little more complicated than that, because his defense was that he has done it a bunch of times. In fact, he's put his poop in Pringles cans and randomly thrown them from the car at least 10 times this year. That's a lot. He says it's a prank. He says he did it at this place. I swear I didn't mean this place. The place, though, he dropped the poop, he was going to see in court 15 minutes later. So I don't think I can provide a defense to this gentleman.